We live in Rochester, get 2 weeks of summer. So glad to see each and every one of you here, those watching online. We're so glad that you've come and just worshiped with us. We are going through a series, going through the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote this while in prison to encourage the church in Ephesus. And what we're going to look at today, it's such a good chapter, this part of chapter 3 that we're going to be looking at today. Paul gives us the antidote for a complaining spirit. Now, I know none of you in this place ever complain, right? Just checking, okay? What Paul will do for us in this chapter is show us all the riches we have in Christ Jesus, all the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. And what he's going to help us to discover today is to understand and to know what a privilege it is to be a follower of Jesus, and what things that he has bestowed into our lives to help us to have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And let me just say this, when you truly discover the love of Jesus and what he's done for us, and it's in spite of everything that we've done, and so many times we try to merit God's love through our performance, and what Paul will show us today is God loves you regardless. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus has already done for you. Listen, if you can just get that, it will free you up from religion and trying to be a perfect person. And always when you mess up, you just feel like giving up, right? What we will see in God's grace is we have a Savior that we can run to and find forgiveness and help. And what Paul will say is the depth of Jesus' love for us is something that is just incomprehensible. It's something that is just so hard for us to understand, but it is there for us. And it will guard our hearts against having a critical spirit. There are so many things in this world that just vie for our attention and can cause us to become critical and hurt us to where we lose sight of what we actually have in Christ Jesus. And what Paul will do for us is show us, don't take your salvation, what Jesus has done for you, don't take it for granted. And do we tend to take things for granted, right? Until something goes wrong or our health goes wrong, we tend to take things for granted. Like if our, you know, electricity goes out, we're like, you know, the first thing we do is like, praise God, the electricity went out. I can just spend time reading God's word and thank you. You know, yeah, thank you. There's, you know, usually the first thing I do is, you know, my dad, they live in our, my mom and dad live in our neighborhood, and they're on the same line as we are, so if we lose our power, they lose theirs. So the first thing I do is, did you lose your, you know, we're texting each other, did you lose your power? And yeah, and I go, did you check our genie's website? Did you know, it seems like our neighborhood is always assessing. You ever notice that? It's never like, give you a time, it's always of course, and then 10 days later, we're still assessing. No, I'm just teasing. But it's easy to take things for granted. And I believe if we don't take our salvation for granted and Jesus' love for granted in our lives, it will help us not to allow our hearts to complain. I just want you to know, if you are in Christ Jesus today, you have so much to be thankful for. And I want you to know that God is a good God. Regardless of what you're going through today or what circumstances that you might face today, there's no reason why we should ever doubt the love of God, that he's using things in our life to draw us closer to him, things that we may not like or that may not make us happy. But in spite of all that, he says, I still love you, and I want to draw you closer to my son, Jesus. So what he's going to help us to discover is not to take our salvation in Christ Jesus for granted. And when we tend to forget what we have in Christ, we tend to complain more. When we forget what we have in Christ, we tend to complain more. So the question we're going to answer this morning is, how do we guard our heart against a cynical or complaining spirit, which all of us battle with from time to time? The Apostle Paul will show us in this letter that he writes to Ephesus, in this part of his letter. Now, what he does is he encourages the church, and what he's going to show them is Paul begins to recollect in his mind all the things that Christ has done for us. And when he starts thinking about that, it drops him to his knees as he prays for the church. And he doesn't want them to forget the great love that they have in Christ Jesus. So, focusing on what we have in Christ will protect us from going down a road of ungratefulness. And this is what Paul will show us today. And so as we read this, I want you to read it with this in mind. Paul is overwhelmed by the goodness of God, that it literally drops him to his knees as he prays for the church. And he wants us to experience that same goodness in our life. So are you ready? Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. We're in chapter 3. You can look up the screens or in your Bibles or your devices, whatever you have. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21. And Paul starts off by saying, when I think of all this, so he's thinking of the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. He goes, when I think of all this, of all we have in Christ Jesus, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all the glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power, to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And all God's children said, amen. Paul was preaching. Paul was excited about who he was in Christ and what is in store for those who understand and believe as Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So Paul describes for us, and what he wants us to understand is that when Christ takes up residence in our heart, what he does is continually changes our heart. He renovates our heart. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow in this love. How many of us know it's much easier to grow a cynical heart than it is to grow a heart that's in love with Christ? We've got to work at it. We've got to understand. We can never take for granted the salvation that we have in Christ because something else is going to take its place. And if we don't discover this every single day in our lives, it is so easy for something else to take its place because we live in a really difficult world. And it's hard to be encouraged. And Paul didn't want them to become discouraged or us to become discouraged. Christ continually renovates our life. How many of you love to make changes in your home? You like to renovate things. Our house is continually under renovation. No, I'm just saying, just decorate. I'll say not renovating, decorating. My wife loves to decorate. She's gifted at it. In fact, there is so much paint on our walls, we've lost about 500 square feet in our house because of all the paint that's there, right? If it was up to me, our house would still look like the Brady Bunch house from 1970. I would never, ever change it, right? But Christ wants to change our heart continually. And the way our hearts are changed is through understanding how deep Christ's love is for you. He wanted them to understand this. He wanted the church to understand this. So Paul prays that Christ would keep changing us, and the result, we will have this experience of his love in extraordinary ways. And how many of us know the biggest room in any house is the room for improvement? And we cannot become stagnant. And so Jesus doesn't want us to remain the same. So what does Paul pray for? Well, this is what he prays for. Paul falls on his knees. He calls out to the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. Now there's so much just going on in this first verse, and I don't want us to miss it because I want to unpack the significance here. Paul is confident. His belief is strong that God will hear him. Like, there's no shadow of doubt in Paul's prayer here. He has this confidence. He believes and he trusts in his Father. It's interesting that he calls God Father. When you hear the word Father, it can conjure up many different things for you. If you had a good earthly father, it can conjure up very good things. If you didn't have a good earthly father, it can conjure up a lot of bad things. It may conjure up for you ideas of like, I'm never good enough. Or maybe I was discouraged a lot, or maybe even abuse. And when you hear the word father, it's not a good thing. I want you to know this morning that God is a perfect heavenly father that wants nothing but your good. He has your good in mind. He wants you to know his son. He's not out to take from you, but to give to you. The word of God tells us that God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. God does everything for our benefit. And when Paul calls God his father, he's not praying to someone that he doesn't have a personal relationship with. Someone that he feels like stiff arms me or I'm not close to. He prays with belief. He prays that his prayers are going to be heard. Paul has this confidence to call God Father. So what gives Paul or us the right to call God Father? The Father of heaven and earth. It's because of Christ. It's because of Jesus. Through Christ, we now have access to the Father. Our sins no longer separate us from the Father. Jesus, who is God, who is the Son of God, came to repair the broken relationship that we had with God the Father because of our sin. So now we have this direct access with God, that we are now his adopted children, that we can now come into his presence through Christ Jesus because he took care of our sin issue, and we can come and find grace and have confidence that he will hear us. Paul understood that his Father heard his prayers. He didn't doubt that. And I think many times when we pray or we feel like our prayers aren't being answered, or we feel like God isn't hearing us. How many times have we gone through that? Like, God, do you hear my prayers? Are you listening to me? Because, man, my life isn't going so well. I want you to know that a heart of humility that calls upon the Father in the precious name of Jesus Christ, he hears you. He hears you. He hears your cries to him. He's not lost track of you. Paul understood this, and it's because of Christ. In fact, the Greek word for father that Paul uses here is the word pater. And what I love about this word is it describes this personal, intimate relationship. And I love the way Thayer's Greek lexicon, we're going to geek out. Can we just geek out for just a minute? Let me just Greek geek out for just a minute, okay? When I went to school, when I went to Christian college and I got a degree in the Bible. When I went there, we didn't have the internets, you know, the internets back then. You had to actually go to the library. Kids, the library is this place that has a lot of books. Check it out. It's pretty cool. So I still have my Thayer's Greek lexicon, so I went back to that, and I love their definition here of pater or father, and it says this: those who, through Christ, have been exalted to a specifically close and intimate relationship with God, who no longer dreads him as a stern judge of sinners, but revere him as their reconciled and loving father. That's the relationship that Paul has with his heavenly Father, reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. John Bloom explains our relationship with God through Christ this way, and this is the reason why Paul calls him Father. And he says this: God does not want us to relate to him as a mere subject relates to a king, or a mere sheep relates to its shepherd. Fundamentally, he wants us to relate to him as a child relates to a loving, generous father who loves to give good gifts when his children ask him. Don't call me a heretic, okay? God loves to spoil his children. And I mean this. He doesn't want spoiled brat children. But he so wants to pour out his love and his gifts to us so that we might serve him and know him and love him. And I'm not talking about material things or all that. I'm not going down that road. I'm saying he, through his love, wants to pour out his gifts to anyone who asks him. And when you come to the Lord and you say, Jesus, I want to know your love in a deeper way. He may not give us the specific wants that we want. We all want, right, the better stuff, right? That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is this. The gifts that he desires to pour out on you are the gifts to help you serve him and to know him in a deeper way. That's the best prayer. Here's the reason why. Those other things, they only last for a moment. And they'll leave you unsatisfied. But when you have the gift of knowing God and knowing his love, and he pours out his gifts on us so that we serve him and serve others, it's everlasting. It's everlasting. It's not self-serving, but it's serving God and it's serving others. And you will have a joy and a pleasure that you'd never have by self-serving yourself. Amen? And these are the gifts that he wants to spoil us with as a good, good, good father. And so for that, we have Jesus to thank for this new relationship with God the Father. In fact, Paul explains it a little further when he writes to the church in Rome. Romans 8:15, he says this, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." In Christ Jesus, we are no more fearful in approaching God and worried about our lives and did we do enough. He says, instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba, Father. Now, this is interesting. Abba is Aramaic for father. Why would Paul say father, father? Why didn't you say father? So he uses the Aramaic word for father and the Greek word for father in this one sentence. What he's saying is there's a new relationship that we have with God the Father. In Christ Jesus, we can now approach him as his children. There's no fear or intrepidation when we approach God. This is why Paul was so confident. His identity was not in himself or his past. Paul's past was a train wreck. He killed, before he knew Jesus, he wanted those that were following Jesus killed. He was a train wreck, religious, and did everything on his own merits. But Jesus humbled him. And when he became a follower of Jesus, he realized what his true calling is. What gives Paul the confidence to know that God is not going to hold his past over him when he comes to him and pray? It's because of his relationship with Christ Jesus. That he's now an adopted child of God, and he cries out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. So this word Abba means a close relationship. It's a personal relationship. You know, any parent would not want their child, can you imagine this informal relationship that you'd have with your kids? And you'd say, okay, when you approach me, call me Father, right? Set an appointment with me a day before, and then you may come into my presence, right? I mean, what father does not love when you come home and your kids are there and you walk in the door and they're like, Daddy! And they run into your lap and they're glad that you're there. There's no intimidation there. They know that you're going to receive them, that you're going to love them, that you're going to care for them. This is the idea as Paul prays to his father, that God is there because of his relationship in Christ Jesus. Let me just tell you something. When you know that, it gives you a whole brand new identity. We stop performing for God, right? We stop saying, look at all the things I'm doing, God. See, I'm doing really good, so you can love me more. Look at all the things I'm doing. You know what I said to that? Stop it, right? Stop doing that. He already loves you through his son, Jesus. There's not enough you can do to gain his love for you. Rest in the fact that in Christ Jesus, you are an adopted child and his love for you is overwhelming. He knows what you're going to do next week. He knows the mistakes that you're going to make in 2 months. And guess what? He still loves you. And we can find forgiveness. We can find healing through Christ Jesus because of that. And I think for many people, they're just lost in the idea that I have to perform for God in order for him to accept me. That's not what it's like. In Christ Jesus, you have a relationship with him. And we can call him Abba Father. So Paul knew where to go. And he didn't trust himself, but the God who created us. And so Paul's prayer is not for specific things, but for the strength of the Holy Spirit. Praying for specific things isn't wrong, But Paul understood something greater for you and I. Paul understood the more significant prayer is for strength from the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because if you have that, you can face anything. If you have that, you can face anything. It means to have this inner fortitude, a confidence that God will never stop loving me. And so Paul prays that they would experience or grasp the love of God. So how can we know of the love of God? We know that Jesus died for us. We might hear this over and over. Pastor, I learned that in Sunday school when I was a kid. I know that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We may know it, but Paul goes a step further and he says, I don't want you just to know it, but guess what? You can experience it. You can experience his love. And Paul prays that they would experience. Now, how? Well, the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts so that we can experience the love of Christ more deeply. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Now, let me explain it this way. If you've ever been on a trip and you try to explain it to somebody else who's not been on that same trip, they don't know what you experienced, right? That happened to me yesterday. I'm talking to my neighbor. He came over and we were doing some yard work. He comes over and he says, hey, Barney, hey, how you doing? And his wife just retired. He's getting ready to retire. And he goes, yeah, we're taking a trip to Italy in October. And I'm like, oh, really? Italy? Wow. I said, well, where are you going to go? He goes, well, we're going to go to Florence. I'm like, really? Now, I had the opportunity with my wife and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law to travel to Italy and go to Florence a couple of years ago, so I'm salivating to ready to talk about it. So for 20 minutes, I was talking about Florence and where to go to eat and whatever, and finally he just said, okay, Barton, that's nice. I gotta get my yard work done, right? So, okay, shut up. That's what no, I'm just teasing. He could not comprehend it. Why? Because he's not been there yet. Guarantee. When he finishes his trip in October, gonna make a beeline. We're going to have a two-hour conversation about Italy, right? And how great it was. You see, here's the thing. Paul wanted them not to just know, but he says, you can experience the love of God. And here's the point of Paul's prayer. The Holy Spirit allows us to experience the love of Christ, not just know about it, not just know about it. And it's interesting, when you talk to someone who's experienced Christ in their life and he's transformed their life, aren't those conversations so edifying? I love those conversations because both of you have grasped the same thing. And what Paul does is he prays that they would not just know about Jesus, but they would experience his love and grace. Psalms 34:8 says this. I love this. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The word taste there literally means to experience. Experience the Lord and know that he is good. Now, you can tell someone all you want, hey, this thing is really sweet, this is really good, but until they experience it. I was thinking about honey when I was writing this. I know Pastor Brandon just got excited when I mentioned honey, because he used to do that with the whole bees things. But this was really cool. People probably wonder, what is on the table that Pastor Barton has up there? I had a wedding this weekend, and the favors were these little jars of honey that they gave out. Isn't that cool? The bride, her sister and her husband do beekeeping and so on and so forth. Now, what's interesting, you could explain to somebody the whole beekeeping technique. I could bring Pastor Brandon up here and he could bore you for 45 minutes on beekeeping, right? How it happens, what does a queen bee do? Believe it, I heard it on the whore, okay? So I'm just saying. So I'm like, good. Yeah. I'm like, good, just give me the honey, okay? It's like hot dogs. I don't care how it's made, just let me eat the hot dog. Because once you know how it's made, okay, anyways, that's a whole other story. So I thought it was a great idea. So when you taste the honey, you're like, oh, yes, right? You get it. And this is what Paul's saying. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just don't know about him. He wants you to have an experience with him. He wants you to know him personally. This is the God that we serve. He wants you to know him personally. I just, when I was thinking of the honey, I was just thinking of Winnie the Pooh. Remember Winnie the Pooh when he had the big jar of honey? He'd stick his big paw in there and he'd be eating it. Remember as a kid, you're like, oh, I wish I could be there right now just eating that honey with Winnie the Pooh, right? Listen, God wants you. He invites you to come in and to know that he's good. He's not going to cast you away. When I don't know if you parents have done this, when your child turned 1 year old, you give them their own cake to taste, right? And it's usually the first time that they've tasted cake. So when it was Lily's first birthday, we had, you know, her birthday is in August. We had it on the deck behind our house. We had this cake, and we put it in front of her, and she had no idea what to do. She's just looking at it, right? And so, you know, you had to basically take her hand, put it on the cake, right, and then taste the cake. And once she tasted the cake, guess what? It was all over, right? You tasted, and it was good. And there was this whole other thing that happened. Our son Colby broke one of these tea dishes that was to get to Lily, and we all got on videotape, and it was the police came. It was terrible. Kathleen almost killed Colby. It's a whole thing, but I've got it on video if you want to see it later. we just watched that not too long ago. I crack up every time because it's just so funny. What he's saying to us, what Paul's saying, is just don't know. Just don't know about him. Just don't know about him. Know and taste that he is good. So let me go back to the beginning and answer the question. How do we not become ungrateful or lose our appreciation for what God has done for us? And here is the example that Paul leaves with us. Here's how we guard our heart. Knowing that God is Father and our identity is in Christ Jesus, we can come to him and we can have a relationship with him. And we know that he's not going to stiff arm us. We know that he's not going to cast us away. Know that. So it's so important that you approach God in prayer, knowing that he hears your prayers. And so what do you focus on? Well, most of us focus on, you know, stuff in our prayers, what we need. And nothing's wrong with focusing on stuff. But do this. In prayer, focus on what God has done for you. Focus on his goodness. Focus on his grace. And it will do something in your heart. It will cause you to experience Christ in a deeper way. Focus on his goodness. Ask him to fill you with his love. And I want to look at this one word that Paul uses when he talks about experiencing the Lord. Paul says, I want you to grasp. I want you to comprehend. I want you to experience the depth of Christ's love. Now, the word grasp here is an interesting word in the Greek because it's a word only found a few times in the Bible. But for some reason, Paul uses it here. It's a word, katalambano. That's the Greek word, katalambano. And what the word means is this. It's kind of, why did Paul use this word? Because it's a little weird to use. But he uses this word. What the word means is, it means to wrestle or to overpower someone. It means to wrestle or to overpower someone. It means to fight, or it means to take eagerly. Now, that's strange. Why would Paul use that word? What Paul is telling us is, he says, I want you to fight to know Jesus' love for you. Don't give up. Here's the reason why. Many times when we're going through difficult things in our life, we just want to give up. Or we just want to go and say, well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? He says, no, I want you to grasp it. I want you to fight. I don't want you to give up. I want you to persevere through this. See, what did Paul mean? Paul is striving to grow in God. He's wrestling with the truth of God in his heart. There are going to be times in your life where it's going to be very difficult to comprehend the love of Christ because of what you're going through in your life. And Paul says, I want you to grasp this. I don't want you to give up. I want you to wrestle with that truth. You may not feel it at the time, but don't give up. Wrestle that truth into your heart until you believe it and you know it and you've experienced it. When my wife and I lost our first child many, many, many years ago, I remember I was when I was writing this part of my message, I'm like, that's exactly how I felt. Like, you're so numb at that point. And many of you maybe have experienced the same thing in your life where you just feel numb. You know God is there, but you feel numb. And all you have are the promises of God. And I remember just wrestling with the Lord in my own heart. And what the Lord had to work in my heart and Kathleen's heart is this idea of just suffering and knowing that God is still for us and that we still have a joy in the Lord and that we still have our salvation and God is still good. The situation wasn't good, but God is still good. And believe me, it wasn't as simple as someone just coming up and saying, hey, Pastor, can I just give you a Bible verse? That's fine. I appreciated what they did, but that didn't help at the time, right? It wasn't a quick fix. I had to grasp how deep His love was for me in the midst of suffering and that loss. And when you come out from the other side of that, you can look back and say, God, you were faithful. It wasn't easy. It wasn't a cakewalk by any means of the imagination. But when you grasp that and you wrestle that into your heart, Paul's saying, don't give up on the love of God that He has for you in Christ Jesus, because He will never give up on you. And all of a sudden, the promises of God become so real to you because you lean on them more than you would ever lean on them before if your life was going perfect. And if your life is going perfect, please help me and show me what you're doing, okay? Because how many of us know life isn't perfect? And so then you begin to hear the promises of God where He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in my Son, Christ Jesus. Whew! That becomes a reality, doesn't it? When you're going through a very difficult time. And Paul wanted us in the church in Ephesus to know this. This is how deep and how long His love is for you in Christ Jesus. Grasp this. Wrestle with it in your heart. And don't give up. Paul is telling us there is so much more for us if we just seek God. And when we do this, ungratefulness will cease. Bitterness will cease. Our focus changes from me to God and His goodness. When you are discouraged, seek God and allow Him to fill you. You wrestle with it, and it's okay to doubt. It's okay to have the feelings that you're having. That's okay. Just don't give up. You may not feel it right then, but don't give up because His promises are true, and God is faithful to His promises. Amen? He is faithful to them. And He will fill you, Paul says, with good things, and He will spoil you as a good father does with His grace and His love and His mercy. So how deep is God's love for you? So much so that He was willing to give up His very own Son for you and I, that we might experience His goodness. That's how much He loves you today. So you might be here today and you might be saying, Pastor, you might be feeling like giving up, or you've been going through a lot in your life. Let me just encourage you. It's okay to wrestle. Just wrestle the truth of God's promises into your heart. And it may not take a day or a week or a month. It may take a while. But don't give up. Paul still prayed to his Father. We are His adopted children. And His love will never run out on you. Let that sink in. Let it sink into your heart as you strive for Him. And you will know His love in a deeper way than you would have otherwise known if your life was perfect. That's how much He loves you. And He'll never give up on you. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you, and then we're just going to close in song. But let me pray for you, and maybe you're there today, and I just want you to know that Christ hasn't given up on you, and it's okay to wrestle. Just know that His word is truth. It's infallible, it's perfect, and He's faithful to His word. So, Father God, we come to You as Father. We know that You're a good God. we may not understand why things happen the way they do. But Lord, you tell us just to seek you, to know you, to not give up on you, and to wrestle with these things into our hearts. And I just pray for anyone that's here today, Lord, that is just battling, God, that is just going through it right now. I just pray that you would reveal yourself to them in such a real way, the depths and the goodness of your love, that you care for us and you'll never give up on us. So help us, Lord, as we strive for you. Thank you that you are a perfect heavenly Father that does hear us and loves us and cares for us. So Lord, for whatever we're going through today, God, I just pray that you would do your work in our hearts and our lives. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your love is there for us and you'll never leave us. We love you. We thank you. And we want to be careful to ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's children said, amen. Can we thank the Lord today for his word and his goodness today? Amen. 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 As we stand today, just make this your prayer today as we close the song today. God bless you as you sing this.